Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You don't have to throw it 50 times. You know, I think an interesting stat was, I think the passes, quarterbacks that attempt more than 50 passes a game have won 22% of their games. Other than Tom Brady. So he's won like 70% of the games that he's had to throw for more than 45 times or something. So if you don't have Tom Brady, then you probably shouldn't throw it 45 or 50 times a game.
I've seen that clip going around a lot on social media. That is new Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel doing an interview on our sister station over in Boston, WEEI. I enjoy that clip because I've seen a lot of people like lose their minds. They're like, oh no, Drake May's screwed. He's going to want to run the ball forever. Like, he's doing, like, there was another part of the clip as well. I wanted to play that one because it was more of the passing game. But he mentions also, like, the running game where it's like, yeah, teams that have run the ball 40-plus times, like, are, like, 145-1. Like, and it's like, well, yeah. If you ran the ball 40 times in a game, you likely were leading by a ton. And right. The second half was you going, like, just get out of here, guys. I got reservations at name this restaurant here. Got reservations at Dorsia. Let's go. Let's get through this. Well, that's if you're passing the ball 50 times a game, you're likely down.
Right. And that's the thing, too, is like I feel like those numbers always get skewed. And I feel like it's been kind of one of the talking points for this game with Bills-Ravens, too, because it's like when you're up, you're going to be running the ball more. And when you're up and you have a good running back or the best running back in the league – you're also going to be running the ball more. So, like, you're going to see more inflated stats. You're going to see bigger numbers and everything like that. So, it's just kind of crazy how stuff like that gets skewed.
But perfect example of that with passing stats. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about Allen as an MVP, and I think rightfully so. They're 13-4. The whole thing. The 3 years prior to this year, his passing attempts. We'll go to 20 since his ascension. 20 attempts, 572, 646. 567, 579. Do you know what his number was this year, Josh? Albeit with one game he did not play. 483. And they're 13-4. That matches their win total from 22 and from 20. He threw way less passes.
Wow.
They ran the ball more.
I remember.
But even then, James Cook, though, himself, I think is down like 30. And ultimately, he missed the Jets game. He was down like 30 carries.
Yeah.
From last year.
I remember we talked in the offseason, like right before the season started, we were doing our predictions for like who was going to have what and everything like that. I think we were talking about Allen having upwards of 500, 600 passes.
I was looking at it, too, of like they're going to use it in the run game. I thought, honestly, a perfect example, Denver, where they use a lot of bubble screens to kind of get their run game going. I kind of was assuming that. It didn't turn into that at all. Instead, it just became we're going to be just horrifyingly efficient. That no one can really stop us. We're going to score points, and then we're going to kind of just kill the game out. We're going to hand the ball off to Ray Davis. Josh is going to have a few runs here and there. We're going to kill the game out, and we're not going to have to do too much. Even look at this past week. Allen ends up having 26 passing attempts. It wasn't like we asked him to have a 45 game, what have you. Jackson's sort of the same thing. For as great as his passing season was, what do you have against the Steelers, like 21 passing attempts? That's the thing. I mean, like if you have those high passing numbers, it's because your team is down.
Right.
If you have high rushing numbers, it's because your team is up. So I like that quote from Vrabel because I think Vrabel is intelligent enough, and you can kind of tell too. He's like sort of laughing there, and he's like mentioning like, "Hey, you really only want to do that like if Brady's your quarterback." Partly because like you only really want to do it if you're down.
Jackson was 16 of 21 against Pittsburgh.
And then, yeah, real quick on James Cook's rushing numbers this year. Last year, he had 237 attempts. This year, 207. And he ultimately missed about two games.
Right,
he misses the Jets game, and he doesn't play against New England.
Mm-hmm.
So he maybe equals out about there, but...
Sure, but at the same time, like, I don't think that those missed games, like, make much of a difference, because even if he had played those games... Like, let's say those games mattered, right? I think it would still be more of the same of what we saw all season, where it was kind of a half and half the whole game, right? Like, we never saw the game, like, last year, I think it was, where James Cook had
Cowboys.
A day against Cowboys, against the Cowboys, and he was going all the time. And we never really saw a game like that this year. There wasn't, I don't think anyway. Am I misremembering some of these games where maybe he did have more of it? But I think also the fact of Ray Davis and Ty Johnson also being so good in the running game, it kind of is like that revolving door where you just keep going and going and going and having all these different guys just get in there and do the job. Mm-hmm. And I think that also plays into it, but not nearly as much as the fact that, you know, if he would have had one game where it was all on him, I think it would have made a bit of a difference.
You know, mentioning that Dallas game, he has 27 rushing attempts in that game, 170, one touchdown. We all kind of know it. I mean, the Bills have openly talked about how, yeah, we kind of just killed the game away. Like, we realized they weren't going to change, and we were like, no, all right, cool. We'll just get rid of you then. His highest rushing attempts this year was last week, 23 rushing attempts.
Hmm.
His highest before that is a 20-burger against Houston.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, I mean, he was close. And I was honestly, like, looking at the numbers here, it was kind of an average. I'm going to guess, without doing the math on the averages here, I'm going to guess about 15, 16 attempts per game. And to have the numbers he's having with those, like, with the rushing attempts he's having, like, I feel like that's really, really good. Like, his yards per carry this year has, it's actually worse. Well, actually, no, technically it's not worse, because if I'm looking at his rookie year too, he only had 89 attempts his rookie year, and he was 5.7 yards per attempt. But this year, 4.9 yards per attempt on less carries, but more, essentially more effective on less carries. That's what he was this year, because last year he had 4.7 yards per attempt.
Yeah, just barely. It's
kind of splitting hairs at that point, but it felt more effective throughout the entire season. Like, him as an impact player this year compared to last year, yes, last year he was good, but this year it felt like he impacted the game more.
Well, I mean, you've heard guys like even Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports mention that, like, this is the best Bills team he has seen in this era, and a lot of it is to do with the offensive line, yes, and James Cook's kind of emergence. Last year, he becomes a 1,000-yard rusher, makes a Pro Bowl. This year, he is tied for first in the league in rushing touchdowns with Jahmyr Gibbs and Derrick Henry, 16 rushing touchdowns each. And yeah, like I can, and it's where like I can understand why is like there's another guy that is taking a load off of Allen. It's why like Khalil Shakir, I think, has become so important for the Bills too, of being second in the league in yak yards, only behind what, Jamar Chase, who is arguably the best receiver in football, one of like six or seven receivers to have the triple crown receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns, the leader across the season. They're not like this like named talent team, but I feel like that is going to change next year. Like I feel like somebody like Spencer Brown, if he continues to have a year like he had this year, is going to be an all-pro Pro Bowl right tackle. Because you're starting to see nationally people mention like, yeah, you know, Allen only sacked 14 times and like their running game was awesome. Like maybe there's their offensive line is better than a single Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say just, anything crazy, maybe. But maybe. I don't know. You know, that's...
It is.
I'm frustrated like, they didn't get a lot of name talent. I can understand it though. This team was noted to be coming in as a transition year. You know.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like when I look at everything that happened with all the Pro Bowl voting and everything like that, it bothers me, but not really. Like, yes, they all had good seasons. Yes, everything worked out nicely for the Bills. But if you're looking at the big picture, like that Pro Bowl stuff, it's just based off numbers and everything like that. Like it's based off stats. And if you look at, you know, let's say Mac Hollins, he leads the Bills in receiving touchdowns. He does not lead the league in any sort of other statistic. No. And even a guy like Khalil Shakir, who at one point had only dropped three passes the entire season, he's also a guy that maybe should be getting a look for that, but it's because his volume isn't that high. It's because of how this offense is set up that those types of skill position players won't get the recognition that they might deserve because they are so effective for their team, just not in high volume, high, you know.
They're not number ones.
They don't jump off the screen at you, but you know that they're a very important piece to that team. The offensive line, though, I feel like, I mean, offensive lines in general, you can't really track much with that. You can track, obviously, like, you know.
How many sacks do they give
sack
off?
Pressure rates and all that. But in terms of like the eye test and everything like that, and looking at like simple stats, there's not much there. So I do think that the Bills got pretty snubbed there in terms of giving their whole offensive line, kind of giving them their flowers and everything like that. But, you know, when it comes to the entirety of the team as like the Pro Bowl thing, I don't think it really is that big of a deal.
I just like it for the guys because there's always contract incentives.
No,
like,
I get
like,
that.
That's the only thing I care, because I don't really care for the Pro Bowl games. I care for the guys that are like, yeah, if I get like a Pro Bowl, I get like an extra $250,000. It's like, sick. You deserve it. Great.
No, I get that part of it, but what I do love about this team is that doesn't matter to them. That it doesn't matter who did what, who won what, who won whatever.
It's been a big talking point.
Aside from the fact that they all want Josh to win MVP. Like that's the only thing that everyone's like, we need this for him. But even that in itself is something that's so nice to see. And I'm not saying that's, you know, going to make you a winning team or anything, but it does help in terms of chemistry, in terms of the team kind of coming together, and it helps when you're trying to keep the team together in the offseason. When you have these guys that are pending free agents, like even Amari Cooper, who comes in here partway through the season, he's going to see the kind of withstanding effect of all these guys around him welcoming him with open arms and also just the togetherness that this team has. He's going to see that and say, hey, this is pretty nice. Like, I might want to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, even if I do have to take a pay cut, I might want to stay here. Like, and again, that's
down the
way
road.
Down the road. But my point overall is this team kind of, to pull like a meme out of the air here, it's kind of like the power of friendship. We're going to just beat you with all being a good team. And at the end of the day, you have to win the game on the field. But when the team works together the way that the Bills have this year, it's a lot easier to do it than when it's kind of, you know, I mean, we've seen it before me and you personally haven't, but Bills fans have seen it before. The bickering Bills.
Yeah.
Like, it does cause problems. The further you get, the higher stress there is, the more pressure there is.
I mean, you look at the team like a Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you got A.J. Brown reading a book on the sidelines because he's got one target.
That book, sales-wise on Amazon, I saw a tweet today, has gone up 5,000,000%.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Like,
I meant to look up the book's name, I think,
it's
yesterday.
It's crazy.
Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performances and the Best Possible Life. It is written by Jim Murphy. And yeah, it has just skyrocketed up Amazon's bestseller list.
Yeah.
Which it's just, I think, is awesome.
So amazing to see. But like you were saying, though, with the Eagles, like you
see. They were having issues a month and some change ago where the passing game wasn't going, and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts are not having a great time. And I can't remember the defensive player, but like he went on like a podcast and was like, yeah, I mean, like, they're not best friends. Like, you know.
Yeah, and then he was like, I didn't realize
I wasn't supposed to say that. Did not know that was not public knowledge.
Right.
And yeah, like their first playoff game, you know, Kellen Moore, their OC, seems to be just like completely just off. With the passing, there's no reason, like with Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, and then Saquon Barkley in the backfield, your passing attack is not one of the best in football. There's just no reason.
Yeah.
And they weren't. I mean, Green Bay was just handing them the ball, and they're like, we kind of want a close game at home. We kind of want a close one. I get Jordan Love might be the reincarnation of Brett Favre, like completely. We're good. No one's talking about that. Love is Brett Favre. Like, for every, like, mythical throw he makes where you're like, I'm going to tell my kids about that, and it's going to be just, I'm going to cry.
Oh, and then you get one that's just the exact opposite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're just like, I literally don't know how he threw that ball. I actually don't know how he threw that. Speaking of the 0-3 playoffs, that game, 4th and 26, goes to overtime, and Brett Favre, inexplicably, on, like, first down of overtime, just goes, I'm going to throw, just a bomb. No one's open. I'm just going to throw it to the Eagles defenders.
Yeah.
It's You gotta just sit down, have an afternoon, and just go through it. Every game was a banger. Every game for no reason was really good. I don't know why that was specific one came up other than like it was a great playoff run the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat down 3 days ago, watched it, and I'm like, this has changed my life forever. I knew about most of these games. I forget they were all in the same year.
I honestly like doing that too, like with just any sport. Like going back and just watching games when we were like kids where we didn't really understand what sports were.
Oh yeah. Didn't have the same feeling about them. Oh yeah,
Just like seeing like what these games were like. It's like, man, like that's
it's so much fun. Growing up, I loved the America's games and stuff like that. Going through the Missing Rings ones was really good. What kind of got me into football when I was younger was actually NFL's top 10 lists, because it was something I'm a history junkie, and that continued on with sports.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, going back and, like, you know, the top 10 lefty quarterbacks and, like, Bobby Douglas, Chicago Bears, 1960s. I'm like, who is that? Who knows him? Who is – you're telling me he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but we're going to act like he was a great quarterback. Okay, I guess. But it was – like, it's something I've always enjoyed about it. It's, like, going back to, like, years where, you know, even before my parents were born, of, like, let's see, like, what the NFL was like then. Like, finding out it was either the 60s or the 70s was actually, like, very pass-happy. And which was very weird for its era. And then it went back to rushing, and it kind of like readjusted itself. It was very weird. But it was like in the Daryl LaMonica days where it was like, actually, everyone kind of threw the ball a lot.
Well, and also think about the fact too, like when you're looking at all these old games and everything like that, like thinking about the fact that there's no social media, there's no phones, there's no or even in like the early 2000s, there's early on the internet, like where you have to like wait 15 minutes for your internet page to
flip
load.
Flip phone, baby.
Yeah, yeah, the flip
LeBron
phone
LeBron James, Steph Curry, NCAA tournament game where he's just like sitting there like recording it on a camcorder.
The picture of LeBron you're thinking about is he's at WWE event and he's got his flip phone out taking a picture of like Stone Cold Steve Austin or something like that.
He's like got the biggest smile on his face.
That's the stuff where I'm like, this is great. Like, I love looking back on this.
Oh, man. 803-0550 is the number if you want to join in the show. We have been talking as well of what do you think is more likely, a Sean McDermott screw-up in the playoffs or a Lamar Jackson bad playoff game. That has been kind of the stigma for both of them. Muffin tweets in, I don't think either happens, but I do think a McDermott screw-up is more likely. Lamar's team is too good for him to have a quote-unquote bad playoff game. And then another one kind of similar to that has been JC tweeting in, a screw-up. At least if Lamar had a bad playoff game, they have an immovable force in their backfield to rely on.
That's exactly what I was just thinking about, because I was looking at, you know, the Ravens game against the Steelers last week and even games in weeks before, and even the Bills-Ravens game from earlier in the season. Lamar Jackson, his numbers don't look good in the sense of he's only got 175 yards. Mm-hmm. What's happening? It's because of the fact that Derrick Henry is there.
They can kind of just lean on him.
If there is ever a quote-unquote bad Lamar Jackson game this season, you kind of don't notice it because Derrick Henry most likely has kind of saved the game. And even later on in this season, since their defense has gotten better, there's been times where their defense has kind of pulled things out for them. So
except when they play the Steelers early in the regular season. Yeah, they apparently are the like, Lamar, go save us. Henry, you sit on the bench. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Lamar's not playing that well. What are you guys doing?
But like that's the thing is, like, you look at all these games, and it's tough to see if there was a bad Lamar game, like looking at it from like the surface level, because Derrick Henry can easily cover that up. Their defense can kind of cover that up.
Yeah.
That's, I think, going to be the difference maker this year, is if he does have a bad game, you have other things to rely on. You have Derrick Henry. You can just hand the ball off to him 26 times like you just did last week and just hope that he runs like crazy. But the Steelers' defense, as good as it had been all year, was abysmal last week. I mean, they weren't anywhere to be found. They had 186 yards from Derrick Henry for 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. That's basically the same stat line he had against the Bills earlier this
that,
season.
I mean, that Pittsburgh team by the end of the year, I mean, there were, I think, two other teams in the AFC that lost their last five games. Tennessee, who's picking first overall, and I think Cleveland, and then Pittsburgh. I think those are the three teams in the AFC that had lost the last five games of their season. Pittsburgh just had no life. You know, sure, they kind of got back into it in the second half with just prayer bombs by Russell Wilson to George Pickens or Mike Williams. Like, Baltimore at that point was just, let's get out of here. Let's stay healthy. Let's get out of here.
Yep.
There was no fight to them. I thought they way over pursued on like every read option play. Kind of, to me, like I said it at that night, it kind of has given off the vibe that they don't think Lamar will ever run, which is insane to me. And I mean, they just over pursued. I know Sneaky Joe's brought this up a lot, but for a lot of people, it is kind of like the antithesis to like every Pittsburgh Steelers team they know. But like Mike Tomlin's defenses in the playoffs these last few years have given up a lot of points. I do wonder if it's, you know, to the quarterback position, not able to sustain drives such. I mean, but if Mike Tomlin's your coach, 4th and 1 is an insurmountable task. They are going to punt it as fast as humanly possible. But I think if I'm a Ravens fan, there's not too much I can take from the Baltimore from the Steelers game other than like, yeah, we may have actually broken them. We may have actually broken our biggest rival.
Right.
Because you're going into Buffalo now in a team that also think it's a Super Bowl window. I don't think that's true of Pittsburgh at all. There might be some of those guys on that team that think, we can make a run, we get hot, you know, the whole thing.
Every team has guys like that. Like, it's...
Listen to George Pickens, who, like, may be a crazy person, but he goes out there in the post game and it's like, yeah, like, I saw some signs of the offense in the second half. I'm like, oh, does that give you, like, hope for next year? No.
Yeah, right.
Not like, even slightly, I don't.
He is one of those guys where I was really interested in him in terms of, like, if Pittsburgh's going to tear it down, go get George Pickens, but just, I don't know. I mean, the vibe he gives off is not
a bad,
not great
bad,
one.
Bad, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's a player, and there's been a lot of players throughout NFL history for me that I'm like, I mean, I love watching you, but like, I would be very frustrated by you on my favorite team. Pickens like might be on that Mount Rushmore. I'm like, man, I love watching you play, and you're a lot of fun. You're talented, and you make me laugh. When, like, there are certain points in a game where he just decides, nah, I'm not going to run a route. They're not going to throw it to me. Yeah. I'm not going to run a route. And I'm going to make sure everyone knows I am, in fact, not running a route. And then he makes an absurd plays. I enjoy the fact that, like, he is very candid when he gets up in front of the media to the point where he has kind of stepped in it a few times. I mean, hell, remember, early in the year when Fields was getting benched, we didn't know for sure yet. He speaks with the media and he goes, yeah, I've been working a lot with Russ. Like, he's going to be playing next week. And everyone's like,
right.
Like, say that again. He's like, yeah, he's going to be playing next week. It's like, oh, okay.
Sweet, thanks for the info.
So I enjoy a lot of it, but I know if like he was on the Bills, I'd be so frustrated by it. And I think especially, too, to that point, his personality does not fit this Bills team at all, and I think it would cause problems. I think it would cause a lot of problems.
Because
he is talented enough to where you're like, you should throw in the ball more.
He's got that number one wide receiver vibe.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying I don't want the Bills to have a number one wide receiver, but like, there's guys you can get that are like that. That, like,
just kind of do their thing.
Yeah, like Amari Cooper, perfect example.
Amari Cooper.
At times, he's been a number one wide receiver.
Jefferson seems to have zero issues that Jordan Addison's also on his football team.
Yeah, and he also doesn't care really who's throwing him the ball because he's had Sam Darnold throwing him the ball all season. So,
yeah, I mean, it's. That's going to be a thing, too, that we're going to have to talk about again, right? Wide receiver. I mean,
I thought you were talking about Sam Darnold.
No,
I was like,
I mean,
please, no.
Cooper's 30. Samuel, we're starting to get something from Samuel, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. And Samuel's on the longer deal, but.
Yeah.
Are you going to believe in that for a longer term? That's the thing that I wonder about.
Josh, I was so gung-ho on Matthew Golden like a month and a half ago, and I'm like guys, he's underrated, he might be Texas' best receiver. And the last month or so, I've just watched him become more and more clearly a first round pick, and I'm like, unbelievable. Like, I can't have one guy fall to the Bills where I'm like, they nailed it. Complete steal. Complete and utter steal. Unbelievable. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show. Let's get to one more call here before next time out. Rick on the line. Rick, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Just to follow up what you're talking about, I watched the Pittsburgh game, the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, and then I rewatched it. And they had the ends. They had Highsmith and Watt crashing inside almost on every play to get to Derrick Henry, and they did nothing about Jackson. I think what what McDermott could do is spy Taron Johnson on Jackson and let everyone else play straight-up defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an idea. Rick, thanks for the call. And I do want to get more on that spy topic with Sal coming up after a quick timeout, because it is going to be something, too, with how dangerous Lamar is and knowing it's the playoffs and seeing how much he was willing to run against Pittsburgh. It's the same thing for Allen against Denver, how much they're willing to run once it becomes one-and-done kind of football. The idea of a spy kind of becomes a necessity, not even just a need. So we'll get more on that after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio will join the show with the Bills getting back to work today. Sean McDermott expected to speak with media in under an hour at 12 o'clock. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. You're listening to WGR.